Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want as we kick off the third hour with you in the studio. It's Ian,
Mickey, and Bonnie.
And you can bring up whatever is on your mind. The number for you to dial in is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We were just talking about a story, Nikki, that you brought in here tonight that is sort of a retread of something that already has happened, at least to some extent, over in Australia. And we talked about this at the time. I didn't remember any of the details because it was one of those sort of one-offs that we never really came back around to. But what they're trying to do here now, and this law has not passed, okay, so this isn't it's not a thing yet, and it's something called the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act. Now, once again, a lot of times the when Congress puts some sort of law or a bill forward, it always has some highfalutin sounding name. Then the devil is, of course, in the details here. I mean, journalism, that's an important thing, right? Having the ability to read a news story that gets all sides of a particular issue presented to you with no bias, that's what a journalist is supposed to do. Of course, we know that's not true these days. A lot of journalism is just opinion with some alleged facts scattered about, if at all. And we're far away from having that sort of pure journalistic standard of being able to, you know, look at both sides of an issue or more than one side of an issue. And so journalism itself is kind of in a precarious place, and so the government's going to swoop in the form of this bipartisan bill, the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, and they're going to save journalism. Well, how are they going to do that exactly? Apparently, they want to force, if this passes, as I understand it, they want to force social media companies to have to pay some of their revenue to the people that are posting on the social media companies.
Yeah.
Now, I believe there have been social media companies who've tried this before. Now, I don't remember the names of these fly-by-night operations, but like, hey, come on over to this social media. We're better than Facebook because we pay you to post. Well, our advertisers are giving us money, and we're going to share the profits with our viewers or with our posters. You post content on our site, and we'll pay you for it. And
well, I've never heard of that.
It ends up being, you know, pennies or whatever. It's really, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Wasn't there a crypto version of that?
Yeah, there's one called Twitch.
Steams or something?
Steemit's another one.
Oh.
Yeah. And for a little while, Steemit really did have something there for a little while. I don't know if it still does.
I thought that was donations for some reason by viewers.
They are.
Which makes more sense.
Yeah, direct payments for crypto payments for people that are posting valuable things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's possibilities for this, but you don't need to have the government to come in and do it. There's a story here from the Washington Examiner's Tom Joyce. He's weighing in on this. He says this journalism, quote-unquote, Preservation Act would kill local journalism. So not all journalists are in favor of this. Some of them can clearly see what will happen here. And as he points out here, the bill would allow smaller news outlets to band together to negotiate with big tech companies such as Google and Meta without violating antitrust law. So it would basically give them a carve-out. Proponents of the law say they want big tech companies to pay news outlets for their news, giving local news another revenue stream. But it's not that simple. In fact, there's another story, and I'm going to get into the rest of this one here, but just as an additional point, there's a detailed piece over at, I believe it was Slate, where they said that this particular legislation actually exempts certain news organizations. So, like, anything with a revenue of less than $100,000 a year would not qualify for the protection of this. So it's
only that seems like the opposite of what should be happening.
It's only going to affect the larger news outlets in this case, if it passes. But it's not that simple, says Joyce over at this story.
Freaking deserves money, too.
Right.
Meta, the parent company of Facebook, has threatened to stop running news content altogether if the bill were to pass.
Didn't they? I have this memory of something else they did very similar because, like this, that was really funny when they did it before, too. It was like, I almost think it had something to do with Russia. Like, Russia was threatening to not let them have something posted on Facebook, and they were trying to get them to pay them, and they were like, well, we just won't have Facebook in Russia. And it was way before the war.
Hmm. You're not thinking about the Australian story?
No, sorry. I was just hoping that would ring a bell with you, because
the same story did happen in Australia. So maybe it was that, but I don't know. Social media is, they say this could be a loss to small independent outlets. Social media is a low-cost advertising medium for smaller news publications. Sites such as Facebook and Twitter don't charge people money to post, and people can reach a large contingent of viewers on these websites. On Facebook, a news outlet can post news on its Facebook page and in hyper-localized groups. In my experience as a reporter for a conservative Massachusetts news website, New Boston Post, Facebook has been an effective tool in increasing web traffic and gaining new paid subscribers for the website. Losing Facebook as an option to reach potential new subscribers would harm the site's long-term sustainability.
Because essentially, Facebook is saying, if Congress passes this, then we're just going to get rid of all news. Yeah. You know, they're not going to deal with that.
Right. What obligation does Facebook have to give you an account?
Yeah.
Right.
It's their site, and the odds that they're going to be able to somehow override that with this legislation and essentially turn Facebook into a political right? I mean, that I was wondering,
maybe not with this legislation, but maybe the news companies will somehow get it to where they have to have a right to be on Facebook.
Which is a really scary thing.
That's a whole other animal, right?
Right. And that's something that some people have been saying for a while that they want to force on these companies like Facebook and Twitter is to force them to allow people to post on their platforms.
Yeah.
That was something that people like Chris Cantwell and a lot of the people on the alt-right were demanding for some time a few years ago, was that they didn't feel like they were getting a fair shake from Twitter and Facebook, and so they wanted the government to step in and mandate that these sites no longer be private websites where they get to set their own rules, but be essentially quote-unquote public squares.
So crazy.
Where everyone has access to post.
Why not just create the government's own public square website that sucks and nobody wants?
Right.
And Chris Cantwell can definitely have a right to be on there, and whoever else can definitely have a right to be on there. It's just like, why
they
Facebook
could.
This private company?
Yeah.
Well, and they do that. They spin it as some freedom of speech thing, but truthfully, it's Facebook is a private company. You know, if they don't want you to have an account, technically,
they can shut down. They can just close the whole thing down if they wanted to entirely.
Yeah. You know, you don't really have a right to Facebook. I don't know. That's the thing,
and no one should have a right to Facebook.
Yeah.
Go ahead and start your own website.
And besides, there is like Rumble and stuff like that. Well, I don't know. Chris Campbell probably got kicked off those too.
Probably. Losing Facebook, he says, would hurt the site's long-term sustainability. If a law caused Facebook to stop letting people run news articles on its site, that would hurt the companies that have invested money into Facebook advertising to grow a bigger following. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a real slap in the face. You've been paying Facebook this whole time to promote your stuff, and then they just take away your account entirely?
I mean, and I think it would hurt the bigger news sources, too. I think it would hurt, like, Fox News and CNN, because clearly they are benefiting off of being on Facebook.
Right. But it's not enough. That's not enough for these people. They went to Congress and they said, we want to get Facebook's money.
Well, and that's the thing. So they're like, oh, I see you have this nice, big, successful company. Looks like we deserve some of that, too.
Let's take a piece of that. What good is it to have a bunch of Facebook fans if they can't see your content? And he says there's another problem with this bill, bias. If the bill were to act as intended, which legacy media news outlets would team up with conservative media to ensure they also got a cut of the money? It's likely that corporations that are destroying local media, such as Alden Global Capital and Gannett, these are newspaper owners, would profit while boxing out news outlets that report on important quote-unquote conservative issues, he says, such as inappropriate sexual materials taught in schools.
Wait, I'm so confused. Like, they're conservative big channels too. I mean, big news agencies
too. This guy is a conservative author.
He's
saying that the mainstream news owners are not conservatives. He's saying that
Fox News definitely runs articles about our kids.
Yeah,
they're
true.
Teaching this in school.
I think he's citing on the newspaper side of things. He's alleging that the major newspaper owners are not conservative. I guess is what he's saying. And he's basically saying if this thing passes, that they would be shut out of any kind of deals because it would only be the big players that would.
So
be
he wants everyone to get a deal instead of no one should be stealing or taking money.
He doesn't want the bill to pass.
Facebook.
He's against the bill. He's just giving another example of why it wouldn't be fair.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
203-283-6160. That's 203-283-6160. And you can hopefully join us coming up at ForkFest 2023. Someone from Free Talk Live will be there. We're hoping that it can include Aria and I. But either way, you should be there because ForkFest is a decentralized, liberty-minded camping festival that's happening in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Rogers Campground is the location. It's June 15th through the 18th, the 7th annual ForkFest. It's happening right before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is a sold-out event the last 2 years in a row. Now, I don't think they've announced that it's sold out yet for 2023, but it wouldn't surprise me that it's going to be sold out here by March. Usually, in the last couple of years, it's sold out like right around the time when the Liberty Forum happens, which is the other Free State Project event that happens during the wintertime. And the Porcupine Freedom Festival is the Free State Project summertime festival that happens. And it's a fantastic event. I would recommend you go to both of these things. ForkFest is moving ahead of the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year, which is where it was when it first started 7 years ago. And you can learn more about it at forkfest.party. I guess it was technically 6 years ago because they always count the first festival as number one, even though it technically should be considered number zero. So anyway, 6 years ago is when it started, and it's a great time to come out and check out New Hampshire if you've never been here before, or if you've been here and you want to see some old friends, this is a great place to do it. It's June 15th through the 18th. You can feel experience what it's like to be around a bunch of people that actually have similar beliefs as you do. That's the whole point of this migration that's happening here to New Hampshire, and this is a great excuse to check it out. ForkFest.party. Learn more there. And again, it's June 15th through the 18th. Get your RV site, your camping site, or your motel room right now by contacting Rogers Campground, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. It's Ian, Nikki, and Bonnie here in the studio tonight. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to that I was good reception. That I just wanted to say that. Remember, we were talking about people are so afraid of change, and yeah. They get into this habit, and there's actually a neurological reason that supports this.
Really? What's that?
Well, what is that? There's two parts of the mind. The thinking part of the mind, where you have to make calculations, it actually takes more energy to calculate and analyze situations, But there's the more of the, how do you say, the autopilot mind.
Yeah, like the subconscious and the conscious mind. Autopilot, yeah, subconscious.
The autopilot, that's why they tell you, to put all the shampoos the same place, put all the clothes and everything in the same place. So it takes less effort and energy for the subconscious mind to go, and so it takes less energy and effort for the subconscious mind to do things. You know what I mean? It's easier for them because it's already, they already know about it. So that's the habitual part. So.
Right. So what you're saying is in order to change, somebody would actually have to actively reprogram their mind, and that takes a lot of effort, and people aren't willing to put that effort in.
Yeah, and when people think a certain way all the time, their neurons literally take a specific path in their brain, mm-hmm. like physically. And
it burns
whenever,
in that path,
yes,
basically.
And whenever you need to think a new way, your neurons would have to burn a new path, and that obviously takes more energy than mm-hmm. or energy and other things, yep. concentration, stuff like that. Than if it was just using the same path over and over. And yeah, well, Sarah, you moved around a lot, right? I think that you said that you've moved like different states. You lived in Boston and stuff like that.
Right. I was a lot of traveler when I was younger, and then I pretty much settled down when I hit 35, 40, and I just got wore out. I can't move around all that much. Yeah.
I feel like
move around.
Yeah. So many people that just, like, never moved out of their hometown / traveled, like, you know, went on vacations and stuff like that. So many people like that, I've noticed, like, that they are more likely to just be, you know, they'll settle with a crappy boyfriend. They'll, you know, not make the same, like, risks or take the same risks and stuff like that. And I've noticed that people who, you know, had to move around a lot or have been out and traveled, you know, they're better at handling change. Mm.
That does make sense.
Mm.
Especially if they had to do that as a child, it's more just second nature to them,
right?
Well, Sarah, it sounds like you've found something else we agree about tonight. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Definitely appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Something else a lot of us might agree on out there is that if you love your pets, you do what it takes to stay with them. And some people are giving up their animals, apparently. According to MSN.com, here the story by Jacob Bogage and Yuen Liu. Actually, it's the Washington Post. When the street cats of Chicago's Hyde Park get out of control, Frances Spaltro's neighbors know they can call her for help. She shuttles the cats to foster homes, but there aren't enough for all of the strays, which often aren't strays at all. They're just pets looking for their homes and the owners that have turned them outside.
That's way worse.
So sad.
Yeah.
During the worst days of summer, when Chicago's oppressive heat drove abandoned animals to court strangers for food, water, and air conditioning, Spaltro's Rescue assisted 35 homeless cats from a neighborhood of fewer than 30,000 residents. One volunteer from Spaltro's Hyde Park Cats Rescue keeps foster homes for six felines. That story has played out across the country. Not too long ago, Americans opened their homes to a historic number of pets, a development comparable to the post-World War II baby boom in terms of its size. More than 23 million U.S. households, nearly one in five nationwide. Okay, so that gives us an answer to the question we had earlier, was how many households are there in the United States? This says 23 million is nearly one in five, so roughly over 100 million households, something like that. Have adopted a pet during the coronavirus pandemic. I remember hearing the stories about that because people were forced, you know, in theory, at least we didn't feel so forced because we went out during this stuff. But a lot of people felt like they were forced to be inside their homes.
Yeah,
they were
alone.
So they got pets. Now, apparently not all of them have stuck with it. According to the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, President Biden even adopted two pets, they said during that time. While most of these animals have remained with their adopters, animal and welfare organizations are now scrambling to get to help some pet owners provide for their cats and dogs or come up with the resources to care for animals given up under economic duress, lest some owners face an impossible decision, surrender or abandon their animals so they can keep themselves and their human families afloat.
I read a story about a woman who couldn't feed her cat and was like trying to accept get donations just to buy cat food.
Wow.
You know, it's really sad.
This is recent?
Yeah, I saw that like last week. I don't remember the details from the story. I didn't end up reading the whole story, but I saw the headline.
Did it work for her? Did you check the fundraiser out?
I never followed up.
I suspect it would work, right? Because, you know, people care about animals more so in a lot of cases than they care about humans.
You know, and I've seen other stories of, you know, like single mom can't afford Christmas presents and, you know, or is eating her children's scraps because there's not enough food to go around. So it's a huge problem right now.
You don't need to be buying Christmas presents if you're having trouble putting food on the table. I mean, I'm not going to give somebody money to help them with that. And, of course, the other question is, if you give somebody money to help them feed their cat, how do you know they're not just buying, you know, alcohol?
Well, there's that. But also, the other thing is, like, if you just give somebody money, they're going to continue having that problem. It's not going to go away. They're not going to figure out how to actually fix it.
We'll talk more about what's going on with animal owners and the large number of them that say they're concerned about the expense of having a pet in the current economy. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The nation saw a slight uptick in the price at the pump.
Gas prices are up slightly. AAA reports the national average for a regular is 3 cents higher than Tuesday. at $3.13 a gallon. That's still 41 cents lower than a month ago. Texas remains the lowest price leader at $2.70 a gallon. Georgia is a close second at $2.71. I'm Lance Pry.
Marvel announcing the release of a Disney Plus documentary about Stan Lee. Lee is most well known for creating Marvel characters like Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk, and more. As Wednesday would have been Lee's 100th birthday, the studio released a short trailer for the documentary and announced its arrival in 2023. The documentary trailer shows a montage of Lee's minor roles and cameos in Marvel films over the years. Marvel has yet to announce an official release date for the film. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case, and they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Of course, one of the takeaways from the story like that we're sharing with you here tonight is spay and neuter your animals,
yes,
your cats, your dogs. I understand that it costs a little bit of money, but it doesn't cost a whole lot of money, and it can prevent animal overpopulation. And right now, there's a worse problem than ever in the United States. Now, I've not done a lot of traveling, but I have gone to Mexico on a few occasions for the Anarcapulco convention that Free Talk Live broadcasts from down there, and it is a sad sight when you are in those the streets. So, like, when you go to a place like Anarcapulco, it's usually happening at like a resort or something like that, and they keep the riffraff away from the resort. But I don't like just hanging out at the resort. I like going into the actual city. And so, you know, Mark and I would go and we'd walk around and take cabs to different restaurants and places in Acapulco. And you see plenty of stray dogs around, just hungry, skinny, like skin and bones kind of skinny, scary looking kind of situations, because, you know, there's just so many animals and no one spays and neuters their animals there, and it's just they're all over the place.
Yeah, it's a problem. I volunteered at a animal clinic in Guatemala.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
For how long?
I was there for 2 weeks.
Okay. What was it like?
There were a lot of really sick dogs, and they were, and essentially...
Strays? Just all of them were stray, or what?
Yeah, so most of the ones that we were taking care of, they were strays that the vets would just take in and, you know, try to, you know, the really sick ones, they would try to kind of, you know, bandage them up, give them medical treatment, and then hopefully find like fosters for them. But me and my sister fell in love with this dog. So we were like, oh, we should take him home and, you know, find him a home in the U.S. because obviously
no can
there
do.
Are usually more homes. Mm-hmm. You know, there, it's just more likely that someone in the United States will have the means to adopt a dog than in some of these other countries.
But could you?
No, we could if we jumped through a bunch of hoops.
Mm.
Essentially, you need to get them vaccinated, make sure they're healthy enough, all of the things. But we inquired about it more and we were doing some research. And essentially, you can get the dog on the airplane, but once you get to the U.S., they might not be able to enter the country. You can't guarantee...
Even if you've jumped through all the hoops.
Yeah, you can't guarantee that the dog can actually still go to the U.S. So then what do? The dog is at the airport. You essentially either have to put them down,
yep,
try to send them back to Guatemala. So we were like, I'm not going to risk...
Right.
You know, I'm trying to help. I'm not going to risk harming this dog that I'm just trying to help. So it was really unfortunate.
That's terrible.
Me and my sister were willing to pay money to do things to help this dog.
Oh.
Maybe even adopt it ourselves, but we weren't. And
but
it was,
if customs says nope, then...
Yeah, it was essentially government regulations.
Unless you can afford another ticket back immediately.
Yeah.
Then your dog's going to get taken to the put down, basically.
It's just really scary that that's even a possibility,
mm-hmm,
that they would rather kill this living being than let it into the country.
Like, if you can prove it doesn't have any disease or anything,
yeah,
I don't get why. It's messed up.
Yeah.
Well, now 35%, more than one out of three pet owners in the month of September in the United States said they are concerned about the expense of having a pet in the current economy. More than one out of three.
I don't understand. It's like,
crazy.
If the poorer I got whenever I was like, you know, something happened, my car broke, whatever, I never was like, I gotta get rid of Coconut. It was like, I gotta feed me and Coconut, and that I would cut out stuff like beer or cigarettes way before I cut out Coconut. Like, I don't understand. Like, I would be... There would be no reason to live if I got rid of Coconut.
Right?
It's a different perspective, right? So, if people had human children, they wouldn't be like, well, I guess I gotta, you know, put my kid down.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
most
put him up for adoption, you know? Most people wouldn't, but I don't think most people have that perspective about their pets.
Well, it's
kind of sad because when you adopt a dog or a cat, I mean, that's... In my opinion, that's part of your family now.
It's a lifetime commitment.
You took that responsibility on.
Yeah. Well, it makes you wonder, Bonnie, how many of these people, these 35% of Americans that are considering getting rid of their pet, how many of them have a cigarette habit? How many of them have an alcohol habit? And how many of them haven't even considered the idea of cutting back on that? Because
how many of them have Netflix?
Netflix, exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how many people who drink alcohol, and look, if that's your thing and that's what you want to do, I'm not telling you you shouldn't, but it's not uncommon for somebody to drop $20 on alcohol on a weekend, right? If not on one night at a bar or something like that, right? And how much pet food can you buy for $20? Probably a month's worth, right? Now, I understand that over time, issues can arise with a pet that can be expensive, right? But the ongoing... watering and feeding of a pet is not expensive.
Yeah.
There's some time involved, right? Like, you do have to spend time with the animal. You have to.
But my other thought is, like, if there are people that are this irresponsible, maybe the pet would be better off with someone else anyway.
Could be, but that's the problem.
There's not enough people.
Where are they going to go? Right? You've already got a lot of people who've taken on pets in the last couple of years, and now some of those people, it sounds like they're ready to give it up.
You're
already got over. If you go to the Humane Society and take a look, I mean.
Yeah.
If it's anything like it was 15 years ago, because I haven't been in a while, they literally have rooms full of cats. Multiple rooms with like 50 cats in each room.
You're right, Ian. We need another dog. Maybe a cat.
That's not what I'm saying here. But it is sad to see this happen, and it does make you wonder how many people have actually cut back on their living expenses before making this decision to possibly get rid of their animal. According to the study that they did here, of the 35% of pet owners who said in September that they were concerned about the expense of having a pet, of those 35%, a full half of them said they may have to give up their pet. Veterinary and shelter officials say it's a troubling sign about the future of American pet ownership. Middle and upper class households are spoiling their companions with new toys, top shelf foods, and luxurious daycare and boarding accommodations. Meanwhile, pet adoption for lower income households is slipping out of reach. The overwhelming majority of pet owners who have fewer animals now than 3 months ago say it's because one of their pets died, the APPA reported, but 14% said they could not afford to keep their pet, while 12% said their pet was rehomed, meaning they, you know, gave it to their grandma or something like that, and 9% said they could no longer take care of their pet for a variety of reasons. So people are already giving up on their animals. Lindsay Hamrick, director of a shelter outreach and engagement at the Humane Society, said this, quote, when the economy is struggling, families are struggling, and that shows up as surrenders. And that's what you call it when somebody comes to the Humane Society and says, I'm sorry, I just can't take care of this dog slash cat anymore. Here you go. Because they know that that's somewhere they can go. It's, yeah. You know, it's not
like you've been dumping it in the park.
Yeah, it definitely is.
When you hear stories about people like the, you know, the box full of kittens that's mm-hmm. just left on the side of the road, or, I mean, I've heard of people throwing, like, horrible, awful things, like throwing animals in dumpsters and just, you know, drowning cats in the rivers. Like, it's just, it's scary to think that people are actually doing stuff like that. Like, that to me is, like, future serial killer behavior.
Absolutely.
You know, like, that's...
It happens all the time.
You know, it's like... That's
is it really?
Psychopathic. Yeah, I've heard of people I knew personally, like, doing the drowning the cats thing, and I'm like, I mean, that's to me psychopathic behavior. Mm. Like, you can't be a normal person and do that.
Animal shelters around the country told the Post that they have seen an influx of pet surrenders this year as inflation retains its chokehold on household budgets. Even though there has been some easing recently, gas and grocery prices remain high, as does most Americans' biggest expense, housing. And we keep seeing increases in that 30-40% increases from 1 year to the next for some people's rent prices. The national median rent swelled 5.9% year over year in November and almost 18% in 2021. According to a real estate broker apartment list. Meanwhile, pet upkeep isn't cheap. Annual food supplies and routine medical care can cost between roughly $500 and $1,000 for a dog and $650 for a cat. But look, that's not a lot of money. I mean, $650 is $2 a day, right?
Dogs are more expensive. Like
a little bit more.
Like, there's lots of things that can help you if you're low income. Like, there's low income things for getting your dogs fixed.
There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. We've got a TikTok channel. At least as long as they don't take it down, it probably will eventually. But for now, you can follow it over at tiktok.freetalklive.com. That's tiktok.freetalklive.com. In the studio, it's Ian,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
We're talking about a sad story about how after so many people adopted animals during the so-called pandemic, now a lot of them are giving them up, with 35% of American pet owners saying they are considering, and others actually getting rid of them, considering getting rid of their animals. And a large number of them, half of those 35% are saying they may have to give up their pet. They're blaming inflation on this. And according to the ASPCA, they're saying here that it could cost between annual food supplies and routine medical care, it could cost between $500 and $1,000 a year for a dog and $650 for a cat. But, you know,
I don't think coconuts ever cost me $5,000 a year. I get all the shots.
$1,000.
Oh, I thought you said
500 to 1,000.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And honestly, I know like a lot of people with cats, at least, that don't bring them to the vet. And it's not like they're irresponsible pet owners either. Mm-hmm. Like, they love their cats, they take good care of them, but
they just have the belief that if something goes wrong, then that's the end.
Well, not even necessarily that, but if you have indoor cats, it's like, do they really need all their vaccinations and all the stuff? You know, it's like, as long as they're fed and taken care of, and then maybe if they're really sick, then they'll bring them in. But
Look, I mean, $1,000. I mean, you know, do the math. That's less than $3 a day.
I mean, if you're expecting to spend less than that on an animal, especially to like feed them and stuff like that, I mean, you should be expecting some sort of expense.
I mean,
if you adopt an animal,
that's nothing, right? Like, I mean, to have something that you hopefully love and care about. I mean, if you don't love the animal, then you shouldn't have gotten it in the first place. If you don't think you're capable of, appreciating an animal,
I don't understand why people do, because we know people who are just like, oh, I just hate my dog, and it ran away.
That's crazy.
Oh, gosh, that's so sad.
Well, no wonder it ran away from you.
Yeah, right? Why did you ever get it? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, gotta understand, there are costs You know, if you want to have an animal, there's going to be a cost in time. Obviously, a dog takes more time than a cat does, right? And a cat, you got to just clean out a litter box from time to time, and that's about it. But a dog takes a little bit more time, but they also return a lot more attention. Yeah. They also give you a lot more appreciation, a lot more love than a cat.
I don't know about a lot from Coconut. If you need that, you shouldn't get a Chihuahua.
Oh, Coconut's always snuggly in the morning. I don't know what you're talking about, Bonnie.
He's just always dissing me.
Not in a way a cat would be.
Because he has a personality, you know? He's just like a person.
He's got his own.
Sometimes
Absolutely.
People are like that.
During this whole show, he was sitting in the middle room in the dark. And we were just like, why is he in there? But it's still much more than a cat. It was mostly a joke.
I do understand the concern that people do have regarding what they would describe here as surprise veterinary care. Certainly, you know, unexpected things can happen to any loved one, whether it be your kids or your husband or wife or your dog or cat. And there are things like, you know, Trupanion pet insurance and things like that that can help defray some of those costs. But, of course, that means you are paying more on a yearly basis just to keep that insurance policy. But these are all things people should consider before they get an animal. This is
and
why
people don't have
just...
savings. So, like, if their dog breaks a leg and it's, like, that's really expensive surgery, they don't have something ready. They don't have money ready for that.
That's true.
And people also don't even take those things into consideration before they have children.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's true as well, yeah.
So
people should be planning this stuff better.
Unfortunately, people are just very irresponsible and just, especially financially.
Let's go to the phones here. We have David in New Mexico, and it's a shame to see animals and kids or whatever suffering because people's failure to plan. But David, go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling about Netflix, but you're forgetting. I'm sitting here as we speak. I'm cooking for six cats. I'm literally cooking for them because it's cheaper to mix other food with their store-bought pet food because those little bastards go through 44 pounds of cat food in a month.
Oh,
damn!
But now, are they outdoor?
Yeah, they're outdoor, and I didn't adopt them. They adopted me. Their mother came along one day and dumped a litter of kittens on me, and then she took off.
Whoa!
And left me to raise her kids.
Well, thanks for doing that, David. I'm sure the pet people appreciate it.
Yeah, and the one thing for and actually one they're now like 6, 7, 8 months old. One of them actually just died about a month ago, and I'm sure he was a male cat. I'm sure it was from the urinary blockage thing that male cats get. Hmm. I had a girlfriend years ago that she had one male cat in particular that had a problem with that, and she had to take him to the vet literally every couple months for the life of the cat to deal with that urinary problem.
What the heck?
Yeah, and so it can be the... It can be really, really expensive if you...
Well, I want to ask you guys this question here. Let's say, because I don't think somebody should refuse to take on an animal simply because of fear of something that might happen. A lot of times you adopt an animal, they're healthy their whole lives, very rarely. My last dog that I had, Jazzy, was in perfect health for her entire life. I mean, she never had any kind of serious issue that ever came up. And that happens for a lot of animals. So
she was... not a purebred, right?
That's correct.
I think getting like mutts kind of helps with that.
I think you're right about
because
that.
Because they're not super inbred and unhealthy.
Yes.
So I think that plays a factor too. But if you're willing to spend $5,000 or however much these purebred dogs cost,
then you better be willing to spend the medical bills.
Seriously?
I agree with you there. But I want to just ask you guys this, and you too, David. So let's say, you know, you don't have a whole lot of money in the bank, but you love dogs, you love cats, you adopt one of them, and it turns out to be a lemon, meaning like, you know, there's problems. It's got internal issues. It's just, it's going to cost a ton of money to keep this thing alive. Is there anything wrong with just saying, you know what, I just want to put this, I love this dog, but it's just, I can't take care of it. I don't want to give it to somebody else to have this problem. I want to put this dog down. Is there something wrong with that?
I mean, if the animal is going to suffer, then I think that it's merciful to put it down. And I think, hey, I even advocate doing this for people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when people are really, really sick, I've had people look me in the eyes and say, please just like put me out of my misery. And they're completely like they're being genuine, like begging me to kill them. And I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm like, that is not
gotta go to Canada for that.
Yeah.
They can do that there now, by the way.
But I would say at least put in some effort to see if there's anybody that else that's willing to, or a society, animal society that's willing to, because
you know,
I mean, like,
there's, but that's the thing, you know, that at the Humane Society, there's right now a room of 100 cats.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying
there,
like, just right? something like that. I'm saying like a place that's going to rehabilitate animals that are sick. There are things like that. I'm saying put in some effort, and mm-hmm. then if it's just like there's absolutely no way, then sure. Like,
what do you think, David?
I know lots of people who have. Who have had to do that or chose to do that.
Do you judge them for it? I mean, is there
I kind of judge them because, like, if they had health animal health insurance the whole time, like,
but
maybe
most
the.
Most people don't have.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I know most people are really irresponsible, like we've been saying. Like, if they had animal health insurance, then they found out, oh, this dog has lots of health problems, they could be able to pay for it. Why are you asking?
Because we're talking about a problem with overpopulation of animals here, and some people feel like. Medical bills are something that is preventing them, or the fear of medical bills is something preventing them from continuing having an animal. And I'm just saying, I just wanted to take the temperature of the room and see what people thought about that. Personally, I wouldn't judge that person at all. I would say, look, this sucks that you got dealt this bad hand of cards, but you know,
but
your
it's
life
just like
is
you
not
should have
be
expected
good.
That. You should have wrote that into the possibilities when you were going to get an animal.
But it's also like, at what expense are we keeping? Like animals and people alive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, even if insurance covers it and we're going to do all these medical procedures,
right.
is that animal going to have a
quality? You didn't say like it was somebody who was like absolutely no matter what you what care you give them, they're going to be suffering. Yeah, then put the animal down. Obviously, I agree with that.
Well, I didn't get into specifics of what it would be, but I agree with what Nikki's saying here. Is okay, yeah. Even if you have the insurance, even if you know, it's all paid for. It's not a monetary issue. The quality of life is still not necessarily mm-hmm. going to be good for that animal. If it's constantly on medication or if it's constantly crippled in some way, shape, or form, I mean, is that something that is actually going to be a good mm-hmm. life? And should you, is there anything wrong with deciding to just say goodbye at that point?
And also, if I had an animal that needed a procedure that costed $30,000, mm-hmm. I don't know if I would be able to afford that, you know what I mean?
Of course not. I mean, the average person would not be able to afford that, whereas, you know, to put them down might be $300.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can find another one. David, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. And again, we're talking about a very rare circumstance here, but this is something that could theoretically prevent people from wanting to get an animal, simply the fear of what might happen. And I'm just wondering how much judgment would that person receive if they made that decision. Out of time tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.